Bulletins, you have 14, chapter 14. I want you to mark that out because we really already did the overview of the seven bowls. So today we're going to run through chapter 15 and get to at least the first three plagues, first three bowls that we'll be talking about in the book of Revelation. Chapter 15 of the book of Revelation, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for being our God. And we want to thank you for how you're working in our lives. Father, you know my prayer is that you will move me and have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray that this sermon will comfort us. For those of us who need conviction, Lord, I pray this sermon will convict us. For Lord, there's nothing greater in all the world than to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, and it will happen. Thank you for your word today. Teach me, Father, that others may be taught. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name we pray. We all say. Chapter 15, the book of Revelation. Chapter 15, the book of Revelation. This chapter opens up some of the most marvelous aspects of God and His timing, God and His control, and God and His wrath of any other time in all the Bible. When we get into the book of Revelation, it's no S on that, it's single, it's talking about Jesus Christ Himself. We studied the first seven seals that God poured out. And then we studied the seven trumpets that God allowed to happen. There's 14 plagues, 14 campaigns that God put on the world. Those 14 took 3.5 years to accomplish. When we get to the bowls here, these seven bowls is going to be equal to the 14 seals and trumpets. It's going to last 3.5 years. And we talked about earlier when we did the overview and got into verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15. We talked about and explained a little bit of what hell is going to be all about. To my best study and my best understanding of the eternal fire that God is going to judge the non-believing world. Now, I want to, for those of you that are here for the first time, I have prayed for you. Amen. That this won't be too much for you. That it'll be that which will catapult you to boldness in Christ. And I have prayed that you alone that have been here would not get complacent with the truth of God, and that you will be willing to let others know that don't know. You better know what I know, because it's coming, and coming strongly. We spent some time talking about what hell would be like, and it is the worst picture of all when God Himself, who is omnipresent, who is I want to say a good way, he that is everywhere, hell is going to be so bad that God is going to limit Himself for being in hell, yet still be omnipresent. It's beyond your pastor to understand that. It's going to be so bad that God says that everyone is going to be secluded. You heard people say, well, my buddies is going to be there. If they are, you'll never know. He's going to be alone. And every people start talking about, well, you know how Satan is. Most people think Satan is going to be the warden of hell. That he's going to have some kind of power structure down there. Let me give you a secret. Satan himself is going to be an inmate just like every other non-believer. And he's going to have his own isolated spot to deal with. He's not going to be down there barking orders, because the wrath of God falls on him also. So are we flowing? Are we understanding? Are we getting ready to step into the bowl? Okay, just want to make it plain. Y'all ready? Verse 1, chapter 15. And I saw another sign in the heaven. This means that he's moving from that last. We went through the seven seals, and between the sixth and seventh seal, that was a break for mankind after reading what God was writing to get a breath. To say, to get fullness in them of what just took place. Then he went to the seventh seal. The seventh seal revealed seven trumpets. And then there was a break between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet to give the world a breath, a reality check. I need to know this, and I better let others. God made that break. And now that we are in the seventh trumpet, it's revealing that there are seven bowls. And we've already said, we may not know who let the dogs out. You hear what I'm saying? We may not know who let the dogs out, but we're going to know who's got the bowls and who's going to turn them loose. And we also know what is inside the bowls that he's going to turn loose. He says, I saw another sign in the heavens, great and marvelous, seven angels. We had seven angels in every one of the seals. You got to understand, of those of you that may be a little lost, God is going to bring 21 campaigns on the world to break his back. 21 campaigns against mankind. And when he brings all 21, then he's going to bring the last great battle to break the world's back and take over, and that's going to be Armageddon. And right now, we're in that seventh trumpet revealing the seven bowls. He says, having the seven angels, he gave these last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Do you understand that? Never before in the history of mankind has God ever poured out his wrath like this. Up until the revelation period, God has poured out his grace. God has poured out his mercy. It is filled up to the max. He says every one of these bowls is to the max filled with the wrath of God. Totally, 100%, all God's judgment. Now, you got to understand this. It's so important for you and I to gravitate to the truth of these words. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Revelation sometimes seems to be hard to understand, doesn't it? It's not that hard. Let me break it down for you. God says when he called the seven angels that's going to bring the seven bowls, in heaven there's going to be a sea of glass. But it's not like the first sea of glass that we saw when we started in chapter 4, in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, when they were singing around God and singing holy, holy, holy. All of a sudden it says those angels we saw that said holy, holy, holy went silent. They never quit praising God day and night. They never quit giving him praise. They never quit singing. They never quit worshiping. They never quit bowing. And all of a sudden, God's whole countenance changed. And when the love of God was removed and the wrath of God was turned loose, all the angels who has known him ever since they was created that didn't rebel, and all the church who was singing praise to God, saw God in a whole different light, and they just go, and for 30 minutes, all of heaven was silenced at the new picture of God that they had never heard of or never seen before. And this was the wrath that was getting ready to be poured out. And that sea of glass that was there when everyone was praising, there was something missing in that sea of glass, and it was fire. In this sea of glass, as he's turning loose the seven bowls, look at it. It is glass, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. He says, those people, I believe, that is standing on the sea of glass here would be all those that lived in the tribulation period, believed in Christ, and then was martyred and killed for their belief in Christ during the tribulation. And he's saying, all those, are they sitting? Are they walking? Are they laying down? What does the verse say? What are they doing? They are standing. Victory, that represents victory in God's kingdom. He says, everyone that's going to come through the tribulation, that's been killed and martyred, is going to stand on the sea of glass coming through the fire of the tribulation period. And they're going to sing. They're going to sing. They're going to sing unto the Lord. You see, there's choirs that can get up here and get up in other churches and can hit the notes perfect because they've been trained in the musical abilities and talents in the right zandra. Where's Pastor Newby? Get them big words from him. They can sing because they got the right technique. They can sing because they got the right voices. They can sing because God has given them talents and abilities. But this choir is going to sing because they have been through the fire and they know what it means to look back and say, He was sufficient in all my glory. He was sufficient in all my burning. He was sufficient in all my pain. And they're going to sing. And they're going to sing. And they're going to sing like never before, folks. They're going to sing. If I had some Christians that could sing unto the Lord. Oh, if I had some Christians that know what it means for God to come through when nobody else can. Sing, sing, sing unto the Lord Almighty. That's choir. You know, they tell me pastors are a little bit schizophrenic. They can go from total exhortation to, what are y'all East Siders doing just looking at me like that? Mom, I need some help for these folks, okay? You don't think that your pastor can sing? I'm not talking about that kind of singing now. But I'm talking about being able to see when I was coming through difficulties and I thought I was by myself. And I get down the road 3-4 months, 3-4 years, and I look back and I say, God, where were you? I only see one set of footprints coming through the difficult time. And he said, my son, that's my footprints. I was carrying you. Now, that's the kind of singing I'm talking about. Oh, this is good stuff to be so serious, isn't it? Okay. The pastor, I'm going to quit getting excited. Y'all are East Siders. And you learn to compose yourself. Nah. I just can't comprehend what that choir is going to be like. And then verse 3 says, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who should not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. Y'all, it's hard for y'all to gravitate to this, isn't it? Huh? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. They're going to sing a song of Moses. Y'all, we got to go back into a little biblical history to understand what it's like to sing unto the Lord. To sing the song of Moses. What is it talking about? Sing the song of Moses. These people are going to sing. You can get back in Deuteronomy. They composed a song after some trouble. But the one we're going to camp on today, the one we want to spend a little time on, is out of Exodus chapter 15. Oh, y'all know what happened in Exodus chapter 15, don't you? That's after the Egyptians tried to stop the Israelites at the Red Sea. Can't hear you, church. Now let me break it down for you. Let me tell you what will happen. That's the Israelites. And on one side of them is the Red Sea. On the other side of them was Pharaoh and all of his army. And God dropped a pillar of fire right down in front of Pharaoh and said, I'll hold them back, don't worry, until y'all cross. And he said, well, ain't no way we can cross. There's some water here, God. Now, I know you're supposed to know all things, but get yourself together here. Of course, none of us have ever talked to God like that, have we? And said, when they were sitting there at the Red Sea, Moses turned around, looked at them, and said, just be quiet and watch God work. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I want to lay it to you as straight as I can as your pastor. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? That Moses didn't do that the second time at the Jordan. The people complained at the Red Sea, and they complained at Jordan. The only difference was the leader. At the Red Sea, Moses says, be quiet and watch God work. When he got to the Jordan, he listened to all the murmuring and didn't lead. And I want to make a confession to you, and I want to make a commitment to you. It's not a confession. Most of you already know. I want to make a commitment to you. I learned from Moses, and that is no amount of murmuring from any of you is going to stop me from making the right decisions before God. Amen. Never will I stand before God and have to ask him to forgive me for allowing you to complain about something and I didn't make a godly decision and put you in the desert for 40 years. Care how popular it is or how unpopular it is. You and your murmuring, if it is against the word of God, isn't worth entertaining. Now, if you are a pastor, if you are an elder, your complaining gets a little notice. Then it's forgotten too. Can you hear your church? Moses is my example. And he says, be quiet and watch God work. He raised the staff, and the Red Sea says, we got to go. Red Sea says, we got to go. God says, move. And it says that the whole Red Sea, now check it out. The word used in Hebrew is the same word we use for jello. So the water jailed. Now, anyone know about jello when it's shaking? Or if it's moving, it's not still. The walls, I want you to grab this, the walls of the Red Sea, when God split it, and land that had been under the water for decades, for centuries, for thousands of years, dried up at that moment. I mean, I know how it is with the horses when there's been water in the pasture for 3 months. It takes a long time for it to dry up. Dried it. Made the walls. Walls, jail. All, they had to walk through those walls with the walls doing like this. Anybody know what was going through their mind when they're walking? What if it does this and not this? We're going to be in some serious trouble. Can't hear you, church? And it says, boy, the walls jailed up. Now, you know that just blew nature's mind. Can you imagine being a fish that have swam that part of the water for years? What up? It was a soul fish. What? And what did God do? God had them march across on dry land. And when they got across on the other side, Pharaoh said, go get them. Follow them in. Now, there's got to be one soldier. There's got to be one soldier that's looking at this picture. Yo, Faye, Pharaoh, let's talk. Don't you think it's got to be one?
I tell you what, I think it was thousands. But you know what? They knew how to obey their leader. Even unto death, they obeyed their leader. Only thing I want out of this church is some obedient followers of Christ. And man, when they got on the other side and they start complaining about God, they're coming through. You got the thing open. It's just like us Christians, isn't it? God can come through and we'll find something else to complain about. The people got over there and said, okay, God, we was impressed. Close it. They're coming. Close it. God said, just chill out. Let them all get in there. And some of the Israelites that was bold, I bet they was like this. Make them real mad. And it came across Bannon. And God said, okay, unjail. Poof. Kill everything. My God, kill everything. The whole Egyptian army, kill. And I love it when critics come up and say, that's not the way it happened. You are Christians. You're always stretching the truth. That was the Reed Sea, which is true. It wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And the Reed Sea is only 10 inches deep. I said, praise be to God. Even the critics make my God greater. He took the whole Egyptian army and drowned them in 10 inches of water. That's what I'm talking about. And the greatest miracle wasn't drowning the guys. It was getting them horses to dip their head down. And when the Israelites saw their people, the dead ones floating up, lifeless bodies against the shore, they sang. Oh, they sang. They sang because they saw the glory of God come through. But it won't be nothing like the choir that's going to be in heaven on the sea of glass after coming through the fire of being martyred for Christ. They're going to sing. Oh, do I have a witness? Do I have anybody here that know how to sing a song unto the Lord? One of praise and victory. One of understanding. One of knowing that we have a God that has, if it's right for us, if that song says there is no weapon that can come against us, what do you think of when man tried to get weapons and wisdom and psychology and psychiatry and every social aspect of everything else to come against God? It will not stand. It will not stand. Because we got a God that has given us that power. I know he has the same. Woo. My voice is almost gone, isn't it? Some of y'all saying, yeah, you ought to quit. Get a hint. I'm not that smart. Who said amen up here? Watch yourself, boy. Your wife may not see you this afternoon. Oh, check this out. Check this out. Oh, it gets nasty, folks. Who should fear thee, O Lord? Verse 4. Look at verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Do you understand? You know how many people? Thank you, my brother. Now, you know this white cloth is going to, tissue is going to break off, and I'm going to have white specks all over my face. Oh, Mom did that. I thought I could trust you, Mom. It says, I'm going to give a test, the testimony. Did you see that? It says the testimony. It's going to be open in the temple. Is that a temple in heaven? I don't know about you, but that's what the words say. And there's other verses in the Bible says that the earthly temple that God had them build was just a replica of the temple that was in heaven. And I'm going to break it down for you. And it says the testimony is going to be open up. Look at it. Read it. Verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Anyone have any idea what the testimony in the temple is? You know, there's a lot of people down here. Sir, I wonder where the Ark of the Covenant is. I wonder where the Ark of the Covenant. We better search. I bet it's in Israel. I bet the Russians have. I bet the Germans got. I bet the Catholic Church has got. They got it hid down in one of them dungeons. Let me give you a secret. God took the Ark of the Covenant back to heaven and is in his heavenly temple. And they can dig all they want. They won't dig to heaven. God says he's going to open it again. And the testimony represents the law that was put in the Ark. We know it's in heaven. And he says, when that testimony is on verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. This is such a contradiction, isn't it? Come on, church. Talk to the pastor. Isn't this a contradiction? How? How in the world can white and purity in heaven, glorious righteousness of God, come out of heaven with such pure garments on, bringing that kind of destruction and death? They don't go together, do they? Just think about it. They just don't go together, this purity and white and goodness, bringing this much wrath and death to the earth. You see, if you don't get this as we go through the book of Revelation, if you don't understand this, you can't understand why Christians will stand against abortion and will stand for capital punishment. Well, I just don't get y'all. You want to save life, let them get a little bigger, then kill them. Can't hear you. If you don't understand this holy righteousness of God one way against another, you can't understand what Christians were supposed to love their enemies regardless what they do with us, and the next time kill them and wipe them off the earth. If you don't understand the whiteness and the glory of the angels coming from God Almighty, the purest of all pure, coming down with the greatest of all death, you can't understand earthly things. You'll be confused. You'll be confused. But these angels are going to come with the fullness, as pure as they are. They're coming with the fullness of God's wrath. Look at this. And having their breasts girded with golden girdles, sounds like Christ is going to be when he comes. And one of the four living creatures gave unto the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Did you hear this? They give the fullness of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Did you get it? Let me tell you. This wrath of God on non-believers in the tribulation period is not a temporary thing. It's coming from the God who is forever and ever. His wrath is going to be poured on them forever and ever. That's the lake of fire and hell. To never get out from under the full wrath of God. And he pulls himself away, puts you in total isolation, and pulls everyone else from around you. Because you know there's some people that will get smart with you. When you tell them, well, the option of not going to heaven, you know, is another place. H-E double hockey sticks. For those of us who don't want to say that word. Can't hear you. I had a brother that was so shy. He would go in and ask for chicken chest. Some of y'all will get that on the way home. I take two legs, I take two wings, and one chicken chest. Thank you. Even the babies get it. And one of the four living creatures poured out that golden bowl full of God's wrath, and the temple was filled. Check this out! And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. Listen at this! And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was fulfilled. God is so ticked off! He is so mad! He's held off for 7,000 years. Some people go, well, Pastor, you and the church really are standing on the wrong aspect, because science say the earth, it's got to be millions and millions of years old. Well, science may say that the earth is millions and millions of years old, but omniscience, called omniscience, says it's only about 7,000 years old. Well, I am one of those that believe in the evolutionary process, starting from a theological power that thought it was okay to start the process and allow the evolutionary process to carry on. You are ignorant. God said, it's about 7,000 years that he's waited. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a non-believer, you better hope it's 7,000 and not many millions he's been holding off. Can't hear your focus. Oh, he said, you just didn't get it. Hold on. He said he is so mad that no one's going to walk in the temple for 3.5 years where he is. How many of you have ever been around a house where the head of the house is mad? Can't hear you. In a lot of Christian homes, the head of the house wears a dress. Of course, I better leave that one alone. You ever been around a house where the man of the house is just mad? I mean, mad! Just fuming. Everybody kind of gravitates to the other side of the house. Can you hear you, folks? My buddy Sherman Smith, I cracked up one time. He said, boy, my dad came home one day from work. He was so mad. He was just shaking. He was so mad. So he walked in the house and he just started looking around. Who's in my way? Who can I get? So he found the youngest boy. And vroom, 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 ah. When he got through with him, he was still mad. So he came to the next one. Then he said, but he was still mad when he got through with the children. Went and found his wife. There's going to be some changes in this house from now on, I said. And when he got through with everybody in the house, he was still mad. He didn't know what to do with himself. And he was walking around, and a dog happened to come by. And he said, you, if you don't learn some new tricks, you are gone too. That's the way God's going to be. God is so mad during this time and so ticked off. No angel, no creature, no principality, no believer, no holy, holy, holy. Nothing got guts enough to walk in the temple with him. Folks, that's mad to be mad for 3.5 years. And God's going to pour his wrath in that kind of anger. And I know some of you are saying, you know what? I know some of you are saying, I just don't see that as a godly trait. To be mad for 3.5 years. Even the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. God, what are you doing? God says, I'm going to make sure I'm going to never have to be mad again. Hold on to that. We got 10 minutes, even though we're already 5 minutes over. Aren't you glad you got a pastor that just don't care what you think sometimes? Yes, I do. I really care. I really do care. Verse 1, chapter 16, check this out. When he says, listen, no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels fulfilled. And I heard a great voice, verse 1, out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way. I have had it. It is over. I've waited. Man is not listening. And what's even worse is I have hardened everybody's heart, so they're not going to be able to change anyway. Folks, do you understand the anger of God in such a way that he has made it impossible for you to change, and then he's going to judge you for not changing. I've already said it. If you get into the tribulation period and you've heard the gospel, you're not going to be able to be saved during the tribulation. God's going to make sure of that because he's going to harden your heart. Only those who have never heard is going to be saved during the tribulation. Look what he says. And the first went, and he poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worship his image. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It says, God, can you imagine a world who is so caught up in themselves that the number one thing they want to do is look good and feel good? Talk to me now. Talk to me, folks. When God removes his presence, mankind is just going to go ape over themselves. Now, let me see if I can ask you, ladies. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Talk to the pastor. Those of you that are still here, didn't go to the ladies' retreat, I'm glad because you can answer this question. You know, how much money do you think is made every year in cosmetics? Can't hear you, ladies. I mean, you know, you go into the paint and body shop to get fixed up. How much does one good day in the paint and body shop cost, ladies? Come on. Talk to me. You know, you're getting your head curved. I went in the other day to get a foil. So I want to let you know, ladies, I can relate. I can relate to you. See, I can relate. you know, you get your hair, you get that cut, you get it layered. You get it twisted, turned, waving at everyone that goes by. You get it perm, you get it straightened. It's just a corner on what the way the wind is blowing that day when you walk in the paint body shop. How much a good day in the paint body shop cost? Come on, throw it out at me, ladies. I can handle it. $200. I don't know if I can handle it. Tell my wife, okay, honey, why don't we just go in the back room? I can fix you up there. Look. Good $200. Make you ladies look good. Some of y'all, you know, some of you cheap. I know it. You're tired of trying to please your man. He ain't worth $200 no more. I know that. You know, I know that. You got him now. You don't care what he thinks. And the church will discipline him if he tries to leave. You don't mind that. You see, I think if it's only $200, I think you ladies are being cheated. Cheated. Yes, you are. You've been cheated. So man don't have to go to no paint body shop to look good. No. He just get a keys to a Porsche. Well, man got some keys to a Porsche or a Mercedes Benz. He looks good to you girls. You said, how much do you think it'll cost to look good? I mean, and how much billions of dollars a year is spent on cosmetics? False everything. Let me tell you something. What do you think is going to happen to mankind when God drops sores all over him? No amount of makeup, no amount of good Armani suits, Cole Haan shoes, Italian silk ties. It don't matter. Sores. Top of your head, sores. Front of your face, sores. Neck, sores. Chest, sores. Back, sores. Other places, sores. Down to the feet. Pastor was smooth to get through that one, wasn't he? What do you think the world's going to say? Ow. Hey, amen. That wasn't too theological, but it explained it. Ow. That's just the first bowl. Second bowl, verse Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. It's not like when he hit the seals. It's not like when he hit the trumpet. Only a third of the sea was affected when that meteorite come out of heaven and hit the Mediterranean. Only a third of the animals died. God says, this one, I'm going to destroy all enterprise for anybody who has anything to do with boats, anything to do with sea life, anything to do with commercial, anything. I'm going to wipe it out with one wave of my hand. I can fly like a bird in the sky. God's going to rock it with one bowl. Every creature that you want to know what God is doing? Any of you know what God is doing? Remember, during the flood, when the whole world flooded, what was the only thing that survived? Creatures in the sea. God said, when I come in tribulation, I'm going to make it up for all those that didn't die during the flood. I'm going to kill every creature. Everyone. Can you imagine the stink that was around the world, with everyone having stinky, runny sores, and the earth is full of blood? And God says, oh, I left something out, because there's still freshness running into the ocean. The third bowl, look at this. And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they all became blood. And every creature in every lake, and every creature in every stream, and everything to do with water turns completely red. And when you eliminate, you know what? Everyone got upset for 3 or 4 days when this terrorist hit and the stock market started going down. You tell me what's going to happen when God turned these first 3 bowls loose, and there will not be any enterprise anywhere on the earth. And mankind is going to say, God, save me! And he's going to say, no. When you had the chance, you didn't take it. No! 4 more bowls up on mankind. As for me and my house, I want to walk with God. Amen. And what a glorious God we serve. And if there's anyone here today that don't know God, you can make excuses. You can pretend this isn't true. But you know what? You can pretend I'm not black too. But that does not change the truth. Where are you with God? As for me and my house, we are saved. Gloriously saved. Marvelously saved. Eternally saved, protected by the blood of the Lamb, blocked from the wrath of God, walking in his glorious light, one glorified individual, one victorious human being, saved, saved, singing a saved song, saved, gloriously saved. Where are you in the midst of this? God, if there's anyone here that don't know you, I pray today they'll say, here I am, Lord. I don't understand everything about you, but I don't want to know that part of you when it comes to wrath. I want to know your love. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know you. In Jesus' most holy, most precious and glorious name, amen. Would you please help us get this straightened out and down the halls on the other side of also the school?